Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
Adam, Will, Norm.
Me.
We're someplace unusual. We're yet another new location today.
We are. We're in the tested offices today.
Yeah, we were
like a treat.
Working on a secret project.
We are working on a secret project. It was a good meeting this morning.
Yeah.
Very good.
It was a little bit unusual, but good, yeah. So we've been off for a couple of weeks. You guys were off doing some other secret projects.
Right, yes. I tweeted a picture the other day of me, and I warned people that it has nothing to do, that nothing in the picture had anything to do with the episode we were shooting. It was me at the edge of one of the canyons in Monument Valley wearing a tuxedo holding a golf club.
Did you just have the tuxedo? Like you just...
I can't say.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. The view is gorgeous.
That I took so many panoramas, and it was... So I love panoramas. I've been stitching panoramas since the mid-90s, and I love the process. I love the view. I always want to see everything.
Yeah.
And this was the first time I had taken some radically long iPhone panoramas and then modified them in Bridge, right? Sorry, mm-hmm. in Creative Suite, using the Bridge dialogue,
dialogue. The Stitcher thing.
No. The iPhone does its own stitching.
Okay.
Excuse me. The iPhone does its own stitching, but when you open up images in Bridge, you can open them up in the dialogue that allows you to affect exposure and clarity and vibrance and saturation.
Because the stitching isn't always perfect.
Well, it wasn't the stitching I had a problem with. It was just making the color really pop.
Right.
The iPhone color tends to be a little muted,
yeah.
as far as I'm concerned. And I haven't printed these things up, but on the screen there, it's a little muted. So I goosed some of those panoramas just a little bit, and they were gorgeous.
They're very high resolution.
Yeah, beautiful. 8 or 9 megs per image.
Did you take your real camera, your Mark III?
No, I actually brought the NEX 7.
Oh, okay.
And I have some, I did some panoramas with that, which I have not yet stitched. And I've actually been finding the Creative Suite Photo Merge to be fantastic for that. It does really well. I'm quite good at keeping my head on a pivot point.
I use a piece of software called PanoEdit on occasion. So one day I walked out of our office here, walked across the street, and there was this most amazing double and then triple rainbow.
Yeah.
And it was one of those nights that the sky was all pink and crazy. So I pulled out the next 5N and just started taking pictures without thinking about what I was going to do with them, because like the normal swipe thing wouldn't have done anything near,
right?
Because it was 2/3 of the sky basically.
Yeah.
And so I investigated some tools, and this pano edit thing turns out to be pretty. I think there's a post about it on the site from ages ago, but you fed a whole bunch of pictures and you kind of laid them out in the right places, and then it just made everything match up, which was really cool. I thought, even though some of them were taken from slightly different perspectives.
When you talk about stitching, there's actually a really cool process that people use to take small sensor cameras. And if you take like 30 photos, you can actually make it look like a large format photograph.
Well, all right. So where were we at?
So there's a
stitching to make a large photograph.
Yes, it's called the Brennizer method, and this guy invented it to do wedding photography. So if you shoot in manual and you shoot very low, wide aperture, low f number, you can use a small camera like an APS-C sensor camera and make it look like a large format photo.
And there are tools that actually help you do this in a...
Photoshop can do it, yeah.
But also like frames for the lenses and stuff too, right?
And this is something that I actually find really lacking in the NEX cameras is their panorama mode, which while you move the camera, it's a great idea, except I was appalled when I opened it up how low resolution...
It's because of the processor and the memory buffer inside.
Yeah. I recognize that. Yeah. I figured that. To me, that's not a feature.
No.
Like, as soon as I use one, I'm like, nope, I'm never using that again.
Well, it's one of those things that, like, they're looking for back-of-the-box features, right?
Right.
I understand why they do it, but you're right, it's lame. And you're much better off just taking 10 pictures yourself and, rotating around a point than using their goofy thing.
That software's gotten so good.
Oh, it's magic.
I've almost never come up against one that... What I did wonder about out there in the Monument Valley, and I don't think I did a test... I don't think I took any photos with which I could have tested this, but I found myself wondering if I could take two iPhone panoramas shot above and
then
below each other
them?
And then actually photo merge those two together.
A little bit of warping, but you could totally image correct.
I found myself wondering if such a thing was feasible. Oh, I also... So we've talked about Noling.
Yeah.
Now,
So did we talk about the derivation of the word, though?
Well, the derivation is actually great. It comes from supposedly, what's his first name? The famous designer Knoll, one of the mid-century modern designers.
Oh, I saw this in one of the comments. I didn't know that was the true answer.
Yeah.
There's a whole Wikipedia page on Knolling. He has a phrase, always be Knolling.
Yeah, well, that's Tom Sachs, yeah, says always be Knolling. And it's funny because
Andrew Crimolo was the janitor at Frank Gehry's Furniture Fab Shop.
Was Knoll's janitor and talked about that because Knoll always did
and
that.
And Florence Knoll was the designer.
Florence, yes. So I'm mostly Knoll on the phone. When I'm having a conference call, I sit there at my desk or in my shop or in a hotel room slowly arranging everything. Now, for years, I've done this in hotel rooms and taken photos of my Knolling because I find it really comforting. It's like an OCD thing.
Is it of things that are yours or just like the stuff that happens to be in the drawer of the hotel?
I'm going to have to debate with myself whether or not I'll show this untested because it's a lot of my personal artifacts and things like that. But I did this in a hotel room just the other
night. Wow. So like, you empty out your bag? And
I totally take my bag and I dump it on the bed. And then while I'm having a phone call, I do this. But here's how I took this photo. I took this with iPhone's panorama software, but instead of pivoting, I did
pan
this
over
across
the
bed, and I got this beautiful photo.
It's crazy dolly.
It was
That sounds like an art project.
Yes, it is almost so. That's one of the things that I did, and the new way I use the iPhone. I haven't tried that before. Doing the scrolling, you actually really have to get it right. If you miss laterally, it really starts to show it.
Crops off where you don't want. Yeah.
So speaking of weird photography techniques,
well done.
There's,
here we go.
There's been a little bit of a controversy with both Etsy, one of our favorite sites.
Yes.
And 20th Century Fox.
A large
Fox.
Conglomerate.
Well, no, name names.
Yeah,
we're going to get it out there.
Yeah. 20th Century Fox.
About intellectual property stuff.
Yes.
As it pertains to what I would consider kind of crafts stuff, which is what's going on Etsy.
Right.
So for a long time, people have sold... get that square. The grid is on there, Adam.
Yep, there we go. Okay, go ahead. This is how I listen.
There's a whole, we got to talk about Knolling as a whole different topic at some
point. We totally do.
Because Norm and I have some experience with this. there's been a controversy because people for a while have been making the Jane hats from Firefly, the knitted red and orange kind of Peruvian looking hat.
And this is a famous episode of Firefly where Jane, who is the warmongering tough guy.
There's only 13.
On what?
There's only 13 episodes. They're all famous episodes.
Right. But this is the episode where Jane, the warmongering tough guy, gets this goofy hat from his mom or his grandmother.
I can't remember.
And he puts it on, and it's totally incongruous. And the Jane hat, which is this Peruvian multicolored hat, has been a crafting project since it showed up. I mean, when you go to Comic-Con, you see hundreds of people wearing them. I have one that's for a finger, for my thumb. I have a little one someone knitted.
And people... Like you, their plans, their knitting instructions on the internet.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is owned by the people in the eyes of everyone except for 20th Century Fox.
Media identifiable to the character, but something that's still a regular object that you would feel comfortable wearing.
Absolutely, like I said, you know, it has been a craft project since the beginning, since it aired. You know,
yeah,
people have been making them, and recently 20th Century Fox reached out. And said to they started shutting down the Etsy.
Yeah, so they started shutting down
sell them
the
on
Etsy sellers.
Right.
They basically nasty grammed them. So they sent them cease and desist in much the same way that 20th Century. I mean,
Fox finally cares about Firefly.
But this is the problem. It's the same as Mattel trying to shut down everything that anyone does with Barbie.
Yeah. Part of the problem is that they have to, in order to protect their copyrights, right? Theoretically.
In one sense, yes. A copyright isn't a copyright unless you demonstrate that you're willing to protect it.
Right.
That is one thing. But I think that's only a small part of why they're coming after the Jane hats. I think that for them, there's also this construct within large corporations, which is we control our brand. And the moment somebody does something unauthorized with it, we need to shut that down because brand control is paramount.
Regardless of whether it's good for the brand or not.
Right.
And
MythBusters has run into this many, 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 many times. We just did an episode. I can't really give too many details away about it, but we used two very commonly used products. And one of them we got a trade out with. That means that they supplied us with a bunch of the material, and we'll mention it and show the logo of the maker on air, and that's fine. The other one, their PR department was totally excited to participate in our episode. Their legal department shut it down completely. Hmm. And this idea of brand control is a really, it's pervasive within corporate culture. And it's nefarious, and it's antithetical, I think. It's antithetical to what I think of as proper business practice. And proper business practice is you're dealing with the people that use your product.
Yeah.
And the idea that you can totally control how everyone uses that product and then, you know, talks about how they use it in the world is ludicrous.
In the case of some brands and products, you know, like Kleenex or Xerox or duct tape, you know, these are brands, but they're also the same words we use to describe those category of products as a whole.
And well, and corporations don't like their names to become household. Don't like their names to become generic household, yeah. Scotch tape, all those things. They don't like that.
Google had a whole campaign almost 10 years ago now about that. Basically, the upshot was, if you are writing about Google in print, do not use the word Google as a verb, meaning to search for things on the internet.
Right. But you would think that that's counterintuitive, because you would think that they want to have the monopoly.
But they don't, right? Once it becomes regular usage, then it's regular usage. Mm. And
it's just another word.
But at the same time...
go ahead.
I guess my thing is that the idea of 20th Century Fox coming in and shutting down these sites that make Jane hats is... It's a great example of where to start talking about fair use and fan outreach. And one of the examples I'll give is Lucasfilm. Lucasfilm is a fantastic example of a company that really does understand its brand and its fans. They support the R2-D2 Builders group and the Stormtrooper, the 501st Legions. They don't support them by giving them things, but they understand that they're out there, and they don't stop them from doing what they're doing.
Well, and they include them in official events, too. Like the 501st is charity stuff and all sorts of things.
In fact, and I do believe, you know, I don't have any confirmation on this, but I do believe, just knowing who gets Nasty Grams and who doesn't from Lucasfilm, that they totally keep an eye on who's making stuff out there. Yeah. And they know what the market will bear, and they know when people are starting to make a profit. And that's the one thing they want to shut down.
Yeah.
Fans making Stormtrooper armor and selling it to each other for a few hundred dollars, no one's going to get rich doing that. And they don't really, that's to them, that's all just good for them.
Because, it's all about scale in Lucas. And Lucas has been doing this. I mean, in fairness, they've had a lot of experience with this. They dealt with this problem way before anybody else, because people were building Stormtrooper armor and R2-D2s 20 years ago.
Yes.
Masters of licensing.
Yeah.
And I think that their approach is very good. They have a, you know, there are people on the Replica Prop forum and other forums that I frequent who've gotten Nasty Grims from Lucasfilm Limited. But for the most part, they're well regarded by the fans because of this very open attitude towards the fact that understanding that the fans are actually generating more goodwill for the product than they could control if they attempted to shut everybody down.
Well, so the internet rumor mill is that there's one of two potential reasons that Fox could be doing this. One is that they want Google results for Jane Hat, because they're going to start selling Jane hats because they look at it as a merchandising opportunity for a franchise that, as Norm pointed out accurately, they have not cared about beyond the moment that it went on air for the first time.
Phrase "they have not cared about it" is such an understatement.
Yeah. Actively work to destroy, quash.
Yes. Hey, they funded a movie. We got a movie.
And there's a lot actually, you know, begrudgingly and kicking and screaming because of the fan outreach. Yeah. I mean, the idea that Serenity got made is one of my favorite things in the world. Until this Veronica Mars thing, I think those are both great examples of the fans really getting companies to wake up and see what's possible that they haven't thought of. But anyway, sorry, they're in a room in Melbourne.
No. And then the other theory is that just some lawyer needed more work and wanted to justify his existence at Fox. The third theory that I mean, we don't know. We know that pretty much every seller on Etsy that was selling these has gotten takedowns.
Right.
But we don't know if there was perhaps one that was doing a much larger scale or something like that, and they were looking at it and were like, well, that look, they're selling 500 hats a month, and they're making them in China or something like that. I feel like the whole crafts thing, in that case, it's almost borderline folk art when you're dealing with, for example, the person who made the mobile that's hanging above my baby's crib also makes one that has superheroes on it. It has like a little felt sewn Captain America and Hulk. You can get an Avengers one. You can get a Justice League one. Yeah. But it's such a one-off small volume product that I feel like it's the kind of thing you'd go to a crafts fair and buy, and it should be fair game as a result.
And they don't call it, as long as they don't infringe on that trademark, you know, the brand Avengers, and they call it, you know, superhero.
They call it a superhero mobile.
Mobile. This is something that also happens with comic book artists.
Right.
So they have unspoken agreement with their publishers because they don't get paid that much per issue that they can take their skills and draw a Captain America at a comic convention, sell prints or something, or sell sketches, and that's okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Maybe what needs to happen is, you know, that the Jane hat making community needs to come up with an innocuous code for Jane hat.
Generic of Jane hat.
Like you call it something like a medium latte.
Or red and orange space.
No. The trick is that the phrase itself would also refer to something else. So there's no way you could do a takedown of the stand-in phrase.
This is like the positive version of Santorum.
Right, exactly. Oh. Exactly.
Oh, the anti-Santorum.
Right.
I'm into that.
Yes, so you need the anti-Santorum marker so that anyone looking for a Jane hat would know that it's called an Apple Box or something like that. And then when you went and searched for Apple Box, you'd find Apple Boxes, but you'd also find Jane hats. And then you restrict the ability of the corporation to come and shut down everyone who's got an Apple Box manufacturing
site. Well, because there's so many Apple Boxes being made today. and on that note.
You know, I think that the lesson is that one, you can't ever leave interpretation of fair use to the corporations. That's one.
Well, a little late for that, isn't
well,
it?
Well, no, but I mean, this is still something that's being determined. This is still, but I recognize that there's a lot of legal precedent.
But there actually isn't.
And more is being built all the time.
But it's the legal precedent and the definition of fair use is mostly established based on like a court case from 1982. That was an important court case, but corporations have traditionally not challenged that. And I think the theory on that is that they don't want to risk defining it in a way that it's better to be vague than to risk making it not vague in a way that's detrimental to their business practices.
Well, and the other one is to really make a qualifiable assessment of what the best business practices for them are.
Yeah.
And, you know, in so many corporations, you end up with this battle between the PR department, which really does understand how to reach out to the fans and how to put everyone under a nice umbrella, and the legal department, which wants nothing to do, somehow is anti the fans.
Yeah, not only just anti the fan, anti the good of the company.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so...
wake up, legal departments. We know that you guys work hard and that you're smart people, but you need to understand a little bit more about this before you start sending these nasty grams.
It's not like people were selling Stormtrooper head. Right.
If only there was a way to quantify the benefit.
But it is a corollary of the Streisand effect.
Well, it is, because the attention to this issue has increased exponentially as a result of the handful of nasty grams that
they
sent
out. And it has brought
out
more attention to the Etsy sellers who want to sell those products now in their
different name. I want to go on Etsy now and buy a Jane hat, and I'm going to tonight, damn it.
Fox,
whether it's called an Apple Box or not.
Fox has been doing this for years, though. They started this when they Foxed the Aliens Total Conversion for Doom in like 1994. There were four dudes in college who were making an Aliens version of Doom, and they released a demo, and then Fox 2 days later sent the nasty gram, and they had to take it down, and it then became a really hotly traded thing on all the underground networks. So it's still out there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bastages.
That's it. We're going to put more stuff on this table. Yeah. I want to see you know more.
Oh, okay, cool. That'll be for the next cast.
Yeah.
And that'll do it for us today. We'll be back next week with another edition of Still Entitled. As always, reviews, iTunes, comments, all that stuff we love. We read them all.
And questions that you have.
Yes.
Questions that you have, we will answer them periodically every month or two.
I think we should do a Google Hangout where we ask questions.
We need to do a Google Hangout. Absolutely.
I think we have that technology nailed now, so we can make that happen.
We tried to do it while I was in Utah, but I was just too...
It turns out they don't have internet at Utah, it turns out.
No. Yeah. We had it was pretty slow.
Okay.
It was free, though.
Oh, free goes a long way.
The cheaper the hotel, the cheaper the Wi-Fi.
That's the rule.
It's, yeah.
The Holiday Inn Express typically has really awesome Wi-Fi. Everything else is, you know, the Holiday Inn Express.
That's Extended Stay America, right? Every time I see Extended Stay America, I think... Daddy's not coming home for a while.
Oh,
I know.
Too soon.
Too soon.
See you guys later.
Bye, guys.